Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Some of the ones that are a little remembering the last couple weeks said, didn't he just preach on that not too long ago? Yeah, it's one of those verses that we just really haven't begun to plumb the depths of what God really has for us in this. So it's pretty life transformational what we need to get out of this. I've been in Ecclesiastes as I've been reading through the Bible of late. It's all right, Colin. Interesting how it really speaks to, it gives a real picture of the world today in a lot of ways. Solomon, who they assume is the writer of that verse, he, remember what he had been given by God? Wisdom. Great wisdom. God said he could have anything he wants, and instead of asking for stuff, he asked for wisdom, and he was given great, great wisdom. Interesting how that can work out for us. Wisdom is not enough, is it? He found that you can have everything that this world offers, even God-given wisdom. And without God, it's not enough. He said, you know what? I'm going to try to figure out life. And he began to pursue all of the pursuits of man, of people. It says, verse 2 in Ecclesiastes, I thought in my heart, come, I will test you with pleasure. Find out what is good, but that proved meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. He pursued, and he had the ability and the means to pursue everything. He said he undertook great projects. He built houses. He planted vineyards. He made gardens and parks. He made reservoirs of water and flourished groves of trees. You name it, he had it. He amassed great amounts of money. He had it all. It says in verse 10 of chapter 2, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Does that sound a little familiar? That's our world. We deny ourselves nothing. If I can get it, I can have it. And there's no boundaries. And he found all that to just be vanity, meaningless. It ended up not fulfilling him. Well, he started then, I'll pursue all wisdom. All wisdom. It says, I've increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. I applied myself to understanding them. And also he of madness and folly. He tried to understand all of these things, but I learned that this too is just chasing after the wind without God, without his purposes, his meaning in the midst of it all. It all falls in on itself. And that's really a picture of our world today. Israel did it, collapsed in on itself. Communism collapses in on itself without God. Socialism does. Europe is well on their way to the same place. Today we're talking about what this world around us really, really needs. What do they really, really need, the world around us? They need us with what we really, really need. The world needs us with what we really need, because the solution is found in the church. The solution is found in Christ, right? And Christ, we're the ones that have the message of the gospel for the world. So the world needs you and me with what we really need. What do we really need? Let's stand together. We dig into God's word. Let's read together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Holy Spirit, I come and ask that you would go far over and above my abilities to communicate your truth. This is so vital for the body of Christ, so vital for each person here, so vital for our nation. Would you speak, Holy Spirit, and cover over the failings and the mistakes and the shortcomings of the human being preaching, and speak, Holy Spirit, directly to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to accomplish what you already promised you would do, and that's to guide us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. Thank you so much. So Jesus said that we would bear much fruit. Much fruit. Isn't that good news? He said we could bear much, not just a little, not a decent amount, much, much fruit. And some will say, some of us here will say, it's so true. It's so true. God is so good. I experience him in my life. He's so close to me. I hear from him when I take time to pray and be with him. He answers my prayers. I just see the fullness of his Spirit just walking with me just all the time. There's others of us that say, yeah, I've had that. It's kind of been a while since that's been real in my life, but I know he can be there in that way, so full of richness. But honest to my with myself and you, God, it's kind of been a while since that's been my experience. Still others of us, I'm not really sure what you're talking about. I've never really experienced religion like that or faith like that. Or maybe you're new to the faith and say, wow, I sounds awesome. I don't know how to do that. How do you do that? We're all probably in one of those camps or somewhere in between. God wants us to bear much fruit in our lives. But what kind of fruit? I go just to a very standard description that God's Word gives us, fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The Bible says, according against such things, there's no law. God is not saying, nope, no, you can't have that. In fact, what's God saying? I'll give you my Spirit so you can have it. An abundant amount of it. He's going to live inside of you to make this a part of your life. Jesus, just the chapter before this, in chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I will send my Spirit to dwell in you. So I'm not leaving you alone. I wouldn't do that. I've come, and I'll send the Spirit in place of me when I leave to go back to being with the Father. So these fruits are available, and really, it's what we want, isn't it? As we look at the list, isn't this what every human being, Christian or no, would love to see in their lives? Really? Think about it. I mean, we would want these things for our loved ones, our family, our community. We want joy for the people around us, don't we? We want for our children, for our parents, for our friends. We want them to be, what's joy? It's being glad to be with that person and they being glad to be with you. It's that joy that brings us together. We want love for our kids. We want our kids to not only know how to give love, but to experience love in their lives. Who wants somebody they care about to not have love in their life? We all want that. We want peace at the end of the day when we come home. We just want to be able to have peace in our hearts when we lay our head down at the end of the day. You know, don't we want patience? We like people to be patient with us, right? Is that a good thing? We want to be patient with ourselves, don't we? How many people are sometimes just not patient with yourselves? We kind of, yeah, we get on ourselves sometimes more than other people do, don't we? Patience, fruit of the Spirit. We want it for our nation, for America, don't we? We look around. Don't we want this to be a place of kindness and love? Wouldn't that be awesome? Look around. Wouldn't it be awesome for the world, just the people in our nation, to just be treating each other with kindness and patience and gentleness? Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Wouldn't it be great if there was self-control and people were just not, you know, we talk about addictions, and wouldn't it be great if there was, people did not have struggles with addictions, whether it's to be drugs or pornography or food or whatever it might be. Wouldn't our government be great if the people in government were filled with the fruits of the Spirit? Can I get an amen out of that one? I'm telling you. But remember the context of this parable. Remember the context? It's the parable of the vine, right? Jesus said, it's very simple. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Stay attached to me, you'll bear much fruit. You detach from me, guess what? You become like a dead branch. You can't bear fruit. You're no worth nothing more than to be thrown out into the fire, like any broken off branch would do. Because fruits need what? Roots. Fruits need roots, right? Without roots, there's no fruits, right? If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So what is it that I need to do? Be obedient or remain in him? What did he say? Although you might be reading ahead. It just says remain. That word, the NIV translates it, remain in me. Some of the old, the English Standard Version, the King James, abide. It's a word that has more to do with where you are dwelling or living or residing than it is just staying with something. It's an abiding, it's a dwelling that we're needing to do. Jesus said, your job, abide in me. Somebody said rest, just to be with him. We just need to be able to remain, abide with him. And what's God's job? To what? His job is to bear the fruit. Our job is to abide. When we abide, fruit comes. Okay? We don't abide. It's one of those if statements, isn't it? If is conditional. So if I let go of this bottle, then it will fall to the floor, right? So if I let go, thankfully it didn't pop open. It's an if then. Jesus said, if you remain in me, then you will bear much fruit. Okay? Our job, abide in him, dwell with him, draw near to him, be close to him, be a part of, make him a part of our lives. Because fruits need roots, but roots makes fruits. Say that with me. Fruits needs, but roots makes, so let's do it. Fruits needs roots. Roots makes fruits. You'll remember that by the end of this sermon. I promise you that. But it's a truth. It's a very simple truth that God was trying to help us to understand. Your job, abide, dwell with him. Then, as we are with him, he begins to transform us and change us into people that produce fruits. What is it, though? That's an easy thing to say, what is it? But how do we do it? It's the simple things of prayer and being in His Word and obeying His Word, okay? It's those things. But here's the reality. What we really need is to abide with Christ. What we're really doing, some stats that I was generally finding, this is pretty close, 55% of Americans attend church regularly. 45% do not. I want to say that's almost double of what it used to be 40, 50 years ago. It's a lot more people that just don't attend church anymore. This is one of the places where you can abide together and worship. 45% of those 55% of attenders read the Bible more than once a week. Okay? So that's about half of America, but about half of the church. Over 40% of attenders read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. Almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read their Bible. That's about 20%. And they said that's essentially about the same number of people who say, I read it every day. I'm in His Word every day, about 20%. Is the Bible part of our time abiding with Him? Yeah, it's a part of it. Prayer is a part of that. Remaining, abiding. Oftentimes, and I'm saying this out of personal experience, our abiding time often tends to be an asking time. We sit down, we'll read a chapter, we'll go down our prayer list and ask for things and say amen and get up and we go. And that can be what our time with God can kind of tend to turn into. But think about it. What is one of the relationships that God describes that what He uses to compare our relationship with Christ? How does He, what's that? Yeah, marriage. Yeah, we're the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom, right? And so we're like in a marriage with Him. What if we treated our marriage like we treat our time with God? What if all we did was maybe read a note from our spouse, ask them to do a few things, and then out the door? How's that for a marriage? Think about it. What does a marriage, a healthy, thriving marriage, include? Communication? What else? Time together. What else? No more from you. Teasing you. What else? What are the things that a good marriage has? Yeah, fun together, enjoying being together. What else? Working together on things. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that are part of a marriage that is healthy and warm and brings joy, and it's a place you love to be and are glad to be. That's the kind of relationship that we're to have with God. That's where the abiding, I'm dwelling there just like He's in my, we're in a home together. We're in a home together. So how do I remain? How do I abide? If you're like me for much of my Christian walk and a lot of people, I'm really not sure how to do that. How do I have that close, warm time with Jesus, with God? I sit down to have quiet time and I'm like, I guess I'll read my Bible. Okay. I'll pray for some people and ask God to help me with some things and say amen. And that's oftentimes what it becomes, but It's supposed to be a time where we are finding joy together. We want to make this a time where I enjoy in relationship is I'm glad to be with God, and you know what? He's glad to be with me. We see each other. Take that picture in your mind. Your little ones just woke up, little baby, newborn, standing in the crib, just woke up, started making noise. You hear him when you walk in. What does he do when he sees mom or dad? It's a new day. Woo! You know, that's what babies do. It's all an adventure for them. It's all new. And what do you do when you see baby? Hopefully if you got a good night's sleep. You go, hi, and you got a big this big. I'm so glad to see you. That's joy. That's innocent, pure joy. I'm glad, and that's what God has. Pure, innocent joy. I'm glad you're with me. And we say, God, I'm glad to be with you. That's what it's supposed to be like. But it takes time. It takes time to spend with God. We can't do, well, I do quality time, not quantity time. We've got to take time to be with God. I'm not saying, well, you've got to have a half an hour, you've got to have 45 minutes. Take time to make it quantity and quality, because you can't have quality without quantity. You can't buzz past your wife in and out. Hi, honey. Have a great day. Come home from work at 9 o'clock. Hey, honey, how you doing? Boy, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Wake up. Hey, honey, see you later. Have a good day. That's not going to make for a healthy, strong marriage or relationship. You have to take the time. Take the time to ask and seek and knock. Wait on him. I'm learning how to wait on God and listen. I'm learning how to be okay with silence. And saying, God, I just needed to hear from you today. Or, show me something from your word. I'm just going to take some time to read and expect that the Holy Spirit still wants to communicate with me and is going to point something out to me. And you begin to say, what do you mean about this? And I'm learning how to journal. I've done it before, something that's been in and out of my life in years past. I'm learning that it is what I need to do in order to slow down my mind enough to say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me today? And I begin to just write down, well, this verse is talking about this. And this is going on in my life. And I've had to deal with that. And maybe you're saying that this. And when we stop and really expect God to speak to us, you know what? He does. But we have to slow down enough to listen. That's when we will begin to tap into the roots. Because fruits needs roots, right? And roots makes fruits. Those are some of the places. Finding joy in your time. Start every time with God with appreciation. There's nothing that opens up the relational and flips on the relational switches and circuits in our heads, in our hearts, than gratitude. We start with saying, God, what am I going to thank you for today? Thank you, Lord, for just the day. I thank you for last night, and what a great time we had with such and such. And thank you, Lord, that you've been helping us with our finances, and we're doing okay. Thank you for my family and helping us through this challenge that we've had. Just thank you, Jesus, for being you and dying in my place. That gratitude connects your heart with God. It begins the relational connection. And it's needed. We need it, because otherwise our minds get scattered. So start your joy time with Jesus with gratitude. Use a journal. And make part of your time reading, thinking about, asking God questions about, listening to what he may be saying to you about his word. And that's going to be awkward. You're going to be like, well, what if I write down something that's not really from God? What if I hear something and I think it's from God and that's really not? Is that possible? What if I stand up here and preach to you something that is really doesn't 100% line up with God's word? Does that keep me from preaching ever because I might not get God's word right? You know what I trust God to do? I trust God to continue to speak to me and correct me if I need to be corrected. I trust God to have people in my life that will say, Pastor Frank, I'm not quite sure you were on track with that. And you know what? He'll do that. So don't be afraid of getting God wrong. That should not keep us from thinking, I can hear his voice. Listen and expect him to speak. Expect him sometimes to correct you when you get it wrong, and you will. But expect him to lead you and guide you and lead you into truth, comfort you, counsel you, just like he promised in his word. He said he would do, the Spirit would do. And us in our humanness, we'll get it wrong sometimes. But that's okay, because God will still continue to work with us to correct us. And that's a good thing. So expect him to nudge you about a verse and say, you know, I read this chapter, but this part, what are you saying about this part, verse, this part of this verse? For some reason, you just kind of kept my eyes on that part. Rethink it. Reread it. Pray about it. What are you doing? What are you saying? Start journaling about it. And he'll begin to do that. I had a verse as I was starting in Ecclesiastes, and I get a little, you know, you start, journals are not necessarily things you want to put on a coffee table, right? But I feel like it's important for you to kind of get an idea of what it sounds like. So I'm starting to read Ecclesiastes, beginning of the week. I was sitting on my porch. I love my porch. Beautiful morning. Just bunnies and squirrels and birds and God, and it's beautiful. It's just one of those. It's followed me to church. And I just wrote, thank you for this porch to meet with you on. Ecclesiastes speaks much of the meaninglessness of pleasure, wisdom, and work without you. How do I deal with my seeming inability to do, think, be outside of ministry? It always takes over my thoughts and prayers. I need help in just being with you. Help me to let go of the weight of the world and just rest in you. Don't make me a saint. I read this and I think I feel awkward in reading it. Sometimes that's what I'm dealing with. I just can't seem to let go of things. And God's saying, you just need to come to me, not as a pastor, just as my son, my child. And God said that he's used that book of Ecclesiastes to just remind me, you need to learn to let go of things. I'm in charge, you're not. And he'll do that if we will begin to listen. And then take joy in doing what he says. If he is who he says he is, he's awesome, he's good, he is true, then what he tells us to do is going to be good. It's going to be good. So take joy in walking in it. I just had some this week. Something came up and I said, Lord. And I wrestled with it for a while. But I said, if you're willing, if this is something you want me to learn through, then okay, I'll walk through it. Because I know you have something good in mind. That's who he is. Love him with your obedience, as my brother said. That's one of the ways that we do remain in him, is to just do what he says. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I say, right? And I will abide in you. I will remain in you. So this is what we really need and we really want, isn't it? It's just that close abiding, because out of that comes the fruits, that abiding, that closeness with God. Out of that comes the fruits. And it's what the world really needs and wants, because if the body of Christ is abiding and we're full of the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, we will bless the world like nobody's business. That's what the world really wants, is a church filled with all of those fruits. Finding joy in your time with him, just listening to his word, reading it, seeking what he's trying to say, and then taking joy in doing it. Think about how that would impact your family, your relationships. If in your just seeking to abide and dwell closely with him, all of these fruits just start coming out of your life, because that's how it happens. It's not us forcing it and making it happen. I'm gonna become more loving. I'm going to become more patient. I'm going to become more gentle. How many people does that work for? Scripture tells us it ain't going to work. You can't make it happen. God has to do it in you first. He's got to do the changing in you. And he does want to change you and bless you in that way. So, some of us here are in the place, God is so good. This, I'm experiencing his fruits. God bless you. Let me encourage you. Ask others, encourage others to seek that close walk that you have. Not out of pride, out of love for them, and out of love for Jesus. He's got so much more. If you're that part of us here that, yeah, I know that's a part of really walking close with God, but it's been a while. Don't settle for less than what God wants to pour out into your life. Don't settle for less. Abide in him. Take the time to draw near to him and dwell with him, and let him do that inside out change. If this is, you're like, I've never heard of this before. I thought religion was just going to church and stand up, sit down, kneel, and sing, and leave, and then you forget about it till, I didn't know there was an actual interaction with God, a relationship with him. It's true. That's what God desires for you. So I want to encourage you. Don't settle for anything less. Even if you look around and see other people that are doing the show up at church, forget about it till next week, that's religion. That's not a relationship with God. Pursue that vibrant abiding with him and all of the fruits of the Spirit that pour out of your changed life when you do spend time with him. It doesn't just happen. Relationships and how relational skills are not necessarily things you're just born with. Really, they're things that we acquire as we grow up. We watch our parents, we watch other people, and we say, oh, that's how you do it. This is how you interact with people. Some people never learn good relational skills because they never saw them growing up. They just grow up and homes or families that just had terrible relational skills, and they just never learned how to do it right. Or they had very, very passive homes that everybody just kind of did their thing, but there wasn't a whole lot of life and relating together, and so they never really learned. Others grew up in homes where good, healthy, interactive relationships were just the norm, and they knew how to love each other and have fun together and have conflict and then work through it and then return to joy together. And you learn how to do those just by watching the people around you. A lot of these things we have to learn. That's what this group that I'm going to be starting, this forming group, we're going to be learning how to have relationship with God, learning how to spend time with Him, to hear from Him, to interact, and we're going to learn from doing it with Him and from hearing about it from each other. It's not a fill-in-the-blank discipleship. It's how can I learn to have that abiding relationship with Jesus? Nobody ever taught me that. I don't know how to do it. We're going to learn how to do it. And I can't tell you how life transforming it could be for you if you're one of those that are like, I don't experience that in my life. Let's learn how to experience that in your lives together. And it'll be a beautiful thing. There's a sign-up sheet at the Connection Center. I hope I left it out there. I was running around. Huh? Thank you so much. There is a cost. There's a workbook that we'll be going through of $25. If cost is an issue for you, please, please, please don't let it be. Come, just let me know. Shoot me an email and say, I'd love to take the class. I just can't swing the 25. We will find a way, so don't worry about it. If you can, then are able, and some of us are able, and that's not a problem. But sign up and make that a part of moving from, I've heard of that, never really experienced it, to become part of my life. We're going to take a moment before we close. I guess I'll ask the worship team to come on up. And the song might be a little more of an upbeat song. Maybe if we can slow it down just a little bit as more of a thoughtful invitation here. I want you to just take some time to be quiet first. And ask Him to show you how to start. Just say, God, show me. I want to start. Show me where or how. And we'll just take some time to have some quiet time with God. And then as the worship team sings, I've got these cards up here. These are for you to have, just as your sign of saying, God, I want to do this. As we're worshiping, just come up and grab one, take it back to your seat, and just fill it out, stick it in your Bible, your pocket, and say, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to start. If I'm doing it wrong, show me. Thank you for helping me along the way. But make this your first step to saying, I want to start having that rich, abiding time with you and the fruit that comes from it. Let's take a minute to pray first. Lord, there's a lot of hurts and struggles that keep our minds and our lives occupied and busy. Sometimes we feel too busy for other things to be added. Lord, I pray for the ones that just have sensed a hunger and a thirst in their heart to say, I want more. I'm tired and weary of all the things the Bible says that I'm supposed to be experiencing. I'm just not. And I want them. I want your promises fulfilled in my life. Would you just give them grace to step out and say, I'm going to start. Thank you for helping me along the way, but I'm going to start. Show me how to start. Whether it's a time in the morning, I'll start reading my Bible, I'll start journaling, I'll go to this class, this group. Lord, would you lead us as we wait and listen? And we'll thank you for it, Lord. Let's just take about a minute to just be quiet and wait on God. Thank you, Lord, that you'll continue speaking and leading as we seek after you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team, and if you want to just come and grab one, take it back to your seat and allow God to begin to lead you closer to him. Let's stand together.